The students who are here with us today, it's good to have you in church with us on this summer Sunday, cool Sunday. What is that about? From heat to cool. But it's great to have you here. As we begin the message today, let's bow for a moment of prayer. Loving God, open our eyes to see and ears to your message for our life this day. Help us truly find that which is our love, our grace, our purpose in you, that we might walk in the ways of your grace and not just live by the law. All this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Today's gospel lesson, we hear Jesus tell us that you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. That's who you are. That's what you're about. But he also talks about the law. He also talks about rules. How many of you like rules? You do? You're a teacher. She's a teacher. That's why she likes rules. You know, we in the Christian faith have an interesting relationship with rules or with laws. From the time some of you I know took confirmation, some of you didn't. It doesn't matter too much, but we know for those of us in confirmation or those of us been sitting in church for a long time, we know something called the Ten Commandments. Have you heard of those? It's a set of rules and a set of laws that we all think are real important to do. Sometimes you see them on billboards in our community. You know, what wasn't I clear about, God says. But we know the importance of living by rules, of living by laws. And yet, we hear today in two readings, one from the book of Galatians that Paul tells us, is that those that live by the law, they are cursed. It's like, what? Those who live by the law are cursed. And even though we hear from Jesus today where he says, you know, not one iota, not one little thing from the law will be lost, you shouldn't get rid of it. You need to fulfill all the law and the prophets. We know when he was here, when he was on earth, there were laws and rules that said you should not work on the Sabbath. And that means pick grain. And his disciples walked through the field, and what did they do on a Sabbath? They picked grain, and they ate that. And the Pharisees said, you're breaking the law. There's something wrong here. Or he didn't ritually wash his hands the way he was supposed to do. And they said, you're breaking the rules. Or he ate with people who he was not supposed to eat with. The rules and the law said you are not to eat with those people because you will be unclean. He ate with them anyway. And yet we hear today that, you know, how we are supposed to be a people of the law, but we are not. We are people of faith and we are people of grace. Now, it's very interesting when I ask who really likes rules, who raised their hand today. Teachers, students, are there any rules in your class at school? Yes, a bunch of them. Ryan, what rules do you have in school? Do you remember any? Raise your hand before you talk. We're all for that. Don't kill anybody, right? Basic life rules. Get this man a microphone, would you? I mean, you know, I'm going to sit down. He needs to come up here. Well, when I was in school, I had an interesting relationship with the rules. Can I say it that way? But what does it mean for us as people of faith and people of grace to know exactly what he says? We got to have this stuff, but what are the rules and laws about? So I want to tell you a parable. Once upon a time, there was a young man. We'll say his name was Bill. Is that okay? It's a pretty good name. Let me go ahead and use it. We'll say his name was Bill. Bill got to the age where he was going to go to school. So he got all his stuff together, and he went to school, and he sat in Mrs. Ribble's class, that first grade teacher. He sat in Mrs. Ribble, and this is all made up. No, for real. He sat in Mrs. Ribble's class, and Mrs. Ribble came into the class, and she wrote on the board, here are the rules that you need. If you're going to do good in my class, and she said something like this, obviously I don't remember it all. If you're going to do good in this class, you have to obey these rules. Have you heard that speech? Nicholas, have you heard that speech too about rules? No? Okay. But here are the rules, and then we got a sheet of paper saying this is what you need to do. And if you're going to do good in Mrs. Ribble's class, you have to obey the rules. And so Bill took that serious. Bill took that serious because you realize this isn't true. Bill took that serious, and he wanted to do good in the class. And he had the rules to do it. This is how you do good. Obey these rules. And so there are rules about how we treat each other. There are rules about being on time. There are rules about how you shouldn't hit each other or kill each other. Although that wasn't written down, it was understood. There are things how we treat each other and how you're responsible to the class and how you're responsible to each other. And we don't leave before we're early. You know all the rules, right? You've all been in classes. You know about teachers like Kathy here, how the rules they give you. Well, Bill got those rules and he figured, I can do this. I can obey all these rules. And so one day he went back into school and they had been talking about stuff. And Mrs. Ribble handed out a sheet of paper and she said, this is homework. And Bill said, what? And he pulled out his list of rules. It didn't say anything about homework. She said, if you follow these rules, you'll do good in my class. So Bill took it home. He wasn't sure what to do with it because it wasn't in the rules. So he took it home and he brought it back, and the teacher, Mrs. Ribble, said, well, make sure you need to write your heading and your name on it. And so he figured, I suppose that's what I do with it. So he wrote his name and his heading on it, and then he turned it in. And Mrs. Ribble came back to him, and she said, you know, Bill, you didn't do this. And Bill reached into his notebook, and he took out his rules, and he put it on his desk, and he went through it, and he said, Mrs. Ribble, you know, you said, if I follow these rules, I will do well in your class. There's nowhere on this list that says, I have to do homework. What, you know? I think they do that now. It's not in the rules. So I assume I can do well in this class and not do this. So, because Bill had a lot of other stuff to do at home, play basketball and baseball. He didn't want to take the time to do stuff. It wasn't going to be important for him, so he handed it in that way. And obviously we know what happens. He kept getting homework, and he figured, well, you know, I'm obeying the rules. What else do I need to do? And then one day, Mrs. Ribble came in, and she passed out something called a test. Bill took out his rules. He looked at him. Didn't say anything about a test. And Mrs. Ribble said, if you're going to do well in my class, you have to follow these rules. And he figured he didn't have to because it wasn't in the rules. And so she said, you put your name on it. And he said, okay. And she said, well, he didn't answer any of the things, but she said, you need to write something in. So he wrote whatever came to mind. Didn't matter, right? It wasn't in the rules. And he handed it in. And so Bill followed the rules and did real well in class, didn't he? You know, the Bill character that I'm talking about either now is still in first grade or... You know, he's a corporate lawyer in New York, either one, right? Mrs. Ribble, it says, you know. Now, I do want to let you know that that was not my experience. You know, Mrs. Ribble, who was my first grade teacher, I do remember her. One day I turned a little piece of homework in first grade. She was a great teacher. She stood about 6'2", though. I mean, she towered over my father. And one day she got one of my first assignments, and I remember this distinctly. She came back, sat on my desk, did one of these. You know the look, right? He says, Bill, you can do better on this. And in my mind, I said, I'll do better on this. Just stop looking at me, that's all. You know, teacher, they look at you. Just don't look at me anymore. But think about that. If you follow the rules in the class, if you just follow the rules in your class, where will you end up? You will not graduate. You will not get out of first grade. Because it's understood school is not about the rules, is it? The rules and the law are a foundation of who we are and what we are. And the purpose of class is to learn. The purpose of school is to grow our children in terms of good citizens, to learn about themselves so they can get a job. All those wonderful things. We know that's the purpose. It's not just about the rules and the law. And yet sometimes when we come to issues of faith, we think if we just follow the rules, things will be okay. And Paul tells us, that's what they do, they just follow the rules, are cursed. You don't make it that way, because the rules aren't about the rules. The rules are about that we don't kill each other, right? The rules are about the foundation of how we treat each other. The rules are about our relationship with God and the purpose we have in our life to love, to learn, and to be part of what we are doing. Jesus says, you are the what? The salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You need those laws and those rules as a foundation to do something. But if you stop there, You miss the amazing gift and grace God offers us and can give us to love others and to love ourselves and to love God. You know, I did finish school, just so you know. And me and any English teachers? Okay. Me and grammar didn't get along. And we still don't get along. But I remember when one of my teachers in a young age gave me The Call of the Wild. Do you remember that book? One of the first books I remember that took me to a campfire. I was engaged. And then when I get a little older, they handed me The Hobbit. And I've talked about the Tolkien stuff. So, man, that brought the world, my mind and imagination alive. You know, if I just followed the rules, I wouldn't have had that stuff. When we are people of faith, God gives us ways of love and grace to be salt, to be light, to love others that bring us alive and connected to God and each other. And if we just do the Ten Commandments, that's as boring as watching grass grow. Important, but boring. We as a people of God need to know not just to follow the rules, not just to do the things that help us, like come to church and read scripture and pray and all that wonderful stuff, but we need to know what our purpose, what our call, and who we are as being loved, and who we are in terms of loving others. And that faith and that gospel and that grace comes alive. And sometimes we need to rethink what that is in our life. We need to redo in our mind and our heart what that is. We need to, and I just heard this word, repurpose ourselves. Have you ever heard of repurpose? In this age of recycling, in this age of reusing, in this age, we need to repurpose ourselves. And I heard about something, some stuff that just gets repurposed. Let me give you a name. Mr. Dan Corum has an interesting job. Mr. Corum works for the zoo in Seattle, and he repurposes stuff. He repurposes what? Giraffes? Rhinoceroses? He's called the Doctor of Dew. Does that make it any clearer? The Emperor of Excrement is another title he's been given, right? What he does is he takes the waste, the things that the purpose is to get the waste out of the body of those critters. He takes the waste of those critters, he composts it, and I really wouldn't want that job. He composts it, and then they package it, and they sell it to people in Seattle. Because he does that, he saves the zoo $60,000 in trash fees. That's pretty good repurposing, don't you think? He saves them $60,000, and he makes approximately $20,000 for the zoo by selling that stuff. It's like selling what? $80,000 from repurposing what we would call waste. Sometimes we need to rethink and repurpose who and what we are. And ask ourselves not just to live by the rules, to come to church and read scripture and all that stuff we know is really good, but really ask God, what would you have of me? What would you have me be? Who would you have me serve? What would you have me do in my life so I might love others and live fully in that gospel of love and grace? Be salt, be light, not just be a rule keeper, a law tender, but the one who loves. I listened to a story recently by a Dr. Oz. Does anybody know him? Does he have a TV show? So I thought I heard that he did. I've never watched the show, but I heard a story that he told. What's his first name? Dr. Mehmet Oz. Dr. Oz is a surgeon, a heart surgeon. That's as a practice, that's what he does. And he tells a story when he was practicing doctor, I believe it was in New York, because the story comes from New York, that he was in a hospital one day, and suddenly a helicopter came in with somebody who he had to tend to. It turns out there was a gentleman who lived in upper area of New York. What he did for a living was he was a sand spreader during snowstorms. And he got in the truck and he spread sand so people didn't get hurt. That's a good thing to do. You make a living, plus also it helps people. It's kind of like a calling, if you will. Well, one day, this gentleman had a massive heart attack. Just a massive. And it pretty much was all over. Well, he flew out on a helicopter, and they brought the man into the emergency room, and he talked to the family. The gentleman was just unconscious. Talked to the family, and the only way to keep him alive was to insert a little pump in his heart, and I forget what it's called, an LVA something, any medical? Anyway, there's a little pump in his heart that really helped his heart pump until he could get a transplant. And he did that, and he said, you know, in spite of the odds, it went really well. It pumped blood through his body, and he was living. Well, obviously, when they put you out for surgery, they knock you out for a while. You sleep for a while. And then, you know, he saved this man's life, and he went back to, after a while, he went back to the man, and he talked to him, and he said, you know, to meet him to see how he was doing. And, you know, what kind of reaction did you expect? He saved his life. He walked back into the room, and the gentleman just looked at him. And the gentleman said, and let me rephrase. The gentleman said, I would like to do terminal damage to you and then do terminal damage to myself. He saved his life. I mean, kill. I would like to kill you and then kill myself. It's like, what is that about? And as he talked to the man, as he got to understand the man, as he talked to his wife, as they talked through that, he understood this man was a person who was active in his church. He talked about his faith of life. And his understanding of his life was this. As long as he could serve a purpose, as long as he could work and do what he could do to help others and to be fully living, he understood he was going to have a great life. But once he couldn't serve that purpose anymore, he understood he was going to pass away with dignity. And Dr. Oz took that from him, he said. Well, they worked with him. And they worked with his pastor, and it turns out that he was a strong man of faith. He became, as Dr. Ah says, he became an evangelical force in his church. He started ministering to others. He couldn't do the sand thing anymore. And at this, as the point of the telling of the story, he is a pastor, a lay pastor, to hex angels. Do you know who they are? I rephrase that. Hell's angels. He works with bikers as a representative of the church to bring them into church to minister to them, and he's doing fine. Why? Because he's got purpose. Because he's got something in his life he can live for. It's not just about the rules of heart pumping, breath breathing, walking, blood flowing, talking and eating and all the stuff we do. It's about purpose. And sometimes I think we forget as a Christian people what all this stuff is about is what's your purpose? What purpose does God have for you? And how is it we need to continue to think and wonder and ask God, what would you have me do? This summer I want to share with you the story of a gentleman named Matthew Sanford. Mr. Sanford, Mr. Sanford, from the time he was young till the time he was 13, was an extremely active young man. Was really good in sports as a teenager, or 12 to 13. At the age of 13, he had a car accident where two of his family members died, and he became a paraplegic. He's in a wheelchair now. But he's found a repurposing for his life. It hasn't been easy, but the change has caused him to rethink some things in his life. And he says this. He says, he was asked in an interview, he says, aren't you angry about stuff and the change that just happened to you? And he said, you know, it has been hard. I don't want to pull any punches. This isn't easy, what I've been through. Trying to regain my strength in his upper body. He teaches now. He's a yoga instructor, and he's a yoga instructor for servicemen who get out of the service. I mean, he has a real calling and a real service to the community. He says, I don't want to pretend that this wasn't hard. And the guy says, you know, the change in your life, how drastic that is. But he said, you know, all of us have change in our life. And all of us need healing stories and purpose in our life. But all of us, doesn't matter, not just me in this wheelchair, all of us are constantly losing things and even losing our trust in the world. Things happen. The loss of childhood, the maturing, children moving out of your home, children moving into your home. Change of jobs, you know, change of things that you didn't want to change. It's constantly happening. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It always happens. But suddenly when the world changes its shape, we have to confront how are we going to connect back to the world. And his view is once you do that, life is a gift and you have a purpose. You know, from the time you came into the sanctuary this morning to the time you leave, the world has changed. Did you know that? And if you're like me, I hate change, right? You know, I want to hang on. I don't want to change. I mean, things are going pretty well, right? I don't want to change. But it doesn't matter. You cannot stop it from happening. But what you can do is say, what does this change mean for my life, Lord? And there are some changes that are just hard. Well, I'm not pretending they're not. This gentleman, you know, Mr. Sanford is a paraplegic. That's just hard. But the question is, what do you do with the changes that you have in your life? Do you just go on living the rules you've been given? This is how I go day to day. Or do you say, Lord, what do you want from me now? What's going on now? What's the purpose you can have for me? And I do not believe God does those things, makes people that way, or causes accidents or tragedies. I do believe God can take those difficult things in our life, those changes, and can open our hearts and minds to our purpose of love. And when we do that, it is such a blessing. It is such a blessing. So this week, your assignment is to pray. Can you do that one? Doesn't take a lot. Pray this. Repeat after me. Lord, what would you have me be? Who would you have me serve? Repeat after me. Lord, what would you have me be? Who would you have me serve? What would you have me be? Who would you have me serve? And listen. Listen, because I think God will open your heart to that. So let's pray. Loving God, we thank you this day for so much that you give us. We thank you for life and love, but not just for the ways of life that just give us organic life, but to make us salt, that make us light of the world. Loving God, open our hearts and minds to the purpose you have for each one of us. No matter our age, no matter our situation, no matter our change, purpose in us that love and that grace that you know in Christ. Purpose in us the ways in which we can love ourselves fully. Purpose in us the ways in which we can love you with all that we are. And purpose in us that we can serve our family, our friends, our world, and those who are in need in the ways of Christ's love. So, loving God, continue to work us and remind each of us, open each of our minds to what you would have us be and who you would have us serve. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you please now stand for our closing song?